This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Good morning to you and welcome to CBS This Morning. It's Tuesday, May 18th, 2021. I'm Gail King. That's Anthony Mason. That's Vladimir Duthier. Tony DeCoppola is on baby leave. Yay.
We begin this morning in the Middle East, though, and for the first time, President Biden has expressed support for a ceasefire in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. But the violence shows no signs of letting up. Early this morning, Israeli forces launched a series of new strikes on targets in Gaza. That follows another night of heavy firing from both sides. More than 200 Palestinians have been killed since the fighting started, including 61 children. 10 people, including 2 children, have been killed in Israel. Imtiaz Taieb is on the southern Israeli border. Imtiaz, good morning.
Anthony, everyone, good morning. That's right, I'm here in southern Israel, where we were brought by the Israeli military. And this, of course, is an area which has really suffered the brunt of Hamas's rocket strikes. Now, the Israeli military has showed us what's known as the Iron Dome, which is a missile defense system. But first, we start in Gaza. And a warning, some of these images are hard to watch.
It's a conflict he has no way of understanding, but will bear the scars of for the rest of his life. 5-month-old Omar is cradled by his father, Mohammed al-Hadidi, the only family he has left after his mother and 4 brothers were killed in an Israeli bombing. Pulled from the rubble by rescuers, his tiny body is covered in injuries, including a broken leg. Al-Hadidi returns to the wreckage of what's left of his home. He says, Israeli warplanes targeted my family without warning, without calling them, with no regard for humanity or babies. Across Gaza, and the scale of the devastation caused by Israel's bombing campaign is hard to fathom. Neighborhoods in ruins, hospitals at breaking point, and vital infrastructure like roads, water treatment plants, and telecoms are on the brink. According to the United Nations, Gaza's only power plant will likely run out of fuel later today, potentially plunging the Palestinian territory into darkness. It's an uncertainty that's only bringing more misery to an already desperate situation. In Israel, and Hamas rockets continue to rain down, badly damaging this street in the southern town of Ashdod, injuring at least 3 people. More than 3,000 Hamas rockets have been fired into Israel since fighting began over a week ago. The vast majority have been intercepted by the Iron Dome missile defense system.
Quite amazing, I would say.
The Israeli military took us to see the multi-billion-dollar technology, which is partially funded by U.S. taxpayers. Brigadier General Daron says without it, Israel would have suffered far more casualties.
This is really a life-saving system. What we are doing here is purely saving lives of Israelis.
But in Gaza, there are no such defenses.
Now, earlier this morning, Israel has allowed some humanitarian aid and some aid workers into the Gaza Strip, a move that's being welcomed by the UN. Vlad.
Unbearably heartbreaking. MTS, thank you very much. The reasons for this latest round of violence are complicated, but one of the many factors is the situation in East Jerusalem, and especially an area called Sheikh Jarrah. Before the Israeli state was founded, both Muslims and Jews lived in the neighborhood, but it has been a long source of dispute. In 1956, Palestinian refugees moved there while East Jerusalem was still under Jordanian control. In 1967, Israel occupied the area after the Six-Day War. In 1972, Jewish settlers began challenging Palestinian claims to the land, launching a decades-long legal battle. And for at least 13 years now, Palestinians have been fighting eviction. The issue came to a head with a recent court decision, which could force 8 Palestinian families to move. The UN Commission for Human Rights calls this a potential war crime. Israeli officials have called it a real estate dispute. Since Israel was founded in 1948, wars and the building of settlements have led to the displacement of some 5 million Palestinians. That's according to UN estimates. And of course, among Israelis, there is a robust debate about whether the actions of the government have been just.
I'm so glad you did that explainer. I mean, it's so much bigger, of course, than the real estate dispute, but you just see all these innocent people dying on both sides. It's very, very difficult.
You know, I've covered the
region. So ongoing.
You have, Anthony. It's a complicated situation.
It has
been complicated for many, many years. I think everybody's hope is that this will come to some resolve. Yes. There will be a ceasefire.
Yes.
And we won't have to see images like little five-month-old.
Yeah.
And soon.
Very tough. President Biden continues to walk a very fine line in his response to this latest Middle East crisis. While he did tell Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu he supports a ceasefire, he stopped short of demanding an end to the attacks on Gaza. Many people want him to do exactly that. Weijia Zhang reports now from the White House.
President Biden was bluntly asked if he would insist on a ceasefire in Gaza, given the escalation of violence.
I'll be speaking with the Prime Minister in an hour, and I'll be able to talk to you after that.
Later, in a statement, the White House said the president reiterated his firm support for Israel's right to defend itself and expressed his support for a ceasefire during his third call with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in less than a week. But reaching a ceasefire deal will require help from partners in the region, such as Egypt, which talks directly to Hamas, something the U.S. won't do because it has designated the group a terrorist organization. But a growing number of Democrats want less talk, more action to push for an end to the violence.
I want to see a ceasefire reached quickly and mourn the loss of life.
Republican leaders have a different message.
And President Biden must remain strong against the growing voices within his own party that create false equivalence between terrorist aggressors and a responsible state defending itself.
But critics say Israel has crossed the line of self-defense, pointing to the rising number of civilian deaths.
CBS News has learned that the U.S. struck a $735 million deal to sell precision-guided weapons to Israel before all of this recent violence unfolded. Several Democrats are expressing concern over the timing. Congresswoman Ilhan Omar saying it would be appalling to move forward with the deal with no strings attached. The White House is not commenting. Anthony?
Weijia, thank you. The coronavirus vaccines are making a huge difference. For the first time since the pandemic began, the number of new cases is down in all 50 states. That's after more than 154 million adults in America have had at least one dose, which is nearly 60%. Nationwide, new cases are down 87% since January. Deaths have plunged a remarkable 82%. Mola Lenghi is in Brooklyn, where restrictions are starting to ease. Mola, good morning.
Good morning, Anthony. Yeah, definitely some encouraging numbers there. And as a result, New York City and the rest of the state, beginning tomorrow morning, will get back to normal, at least as close to normal as we have seen here during the entire pandemic. Of course, more than a year now. Starting Wednesday, mask restrictions will be lifted for vaccinated people in New York, with some exceptions like hospitals and public transportation. Now, with that said, mask mandates across the country are anything but uniform, mirroring the patchwork of rules that really ushered in the pandemic. New York and California have almost the same vaccination rate, but California is keeping its mask mandates for at least another month. Now back here in the Northeast, New Jersey still requires masks indoors, and while Pennsylvania has eased its restrictions, the city of Philadelphia has not. It's not just states. Major corporations are also easing their COVID restrictions. Target, CVS, Starbucks are just the latest companies to drop mask requirements for vaccinated customers in their stores around the country. On the other hand, the Kroger grocery chain is keeping its mask mandate. So with all these states, cities, and companies taking different approaches to mask mandates and reopening, as you can imagine, it's causing at least a little bit of confusion around the country. But the White House came out yesterday trying to reassure the American public, saying that at least when it comes to the federal guidelines, those are based on science. Gail.
I'm going to go with the science. Whenever in doubt, just wear your mask. What we know for sure, Mueller, is that that always works. Thank you very much. The former police officer who shot and killed 20-year-old Dante Wright in a Minneapolis suburb is due to go on trial in December. Kim Potter appeared remotely at a court hearing yesterday. She did not enter a plea to the charge of second-degree manslaughter. Police officials say that Potter thought she was firing a taser when she shot Wright last month during a struggle after a traffic stop. Potter quit her job after that shooting.
And we may learn today if sheriff's deputies in eastern North Carolina will be charged in the shooting death of a black man. Andrew Brown Jr. was killed outside his home in Elizabeth City last month by deputies serving a warrant on felony drug charges. Brown's family says body camera footage of the incident proves the shooting was unwarranted. They call it an execution. The local DA will release the results of his investigation today, but he has said Brown tried to hit officers with his car. Earlier this month, a judge said he might release the video to the public after the investigation is complete.
A very significant abortion case is headed to the Supreme Court. The justices said yesterday they will decide if a new law in Mississippi is constitutional. It would impose the strictest state limits on abortion since the Roe versus Wade decision 48 years ago. Jan Crawford is at the Supreme Court. So, Jan, when will the justices decide?
Well, the court won't hear arguments in this case until next term, which starts in October. So we probably won't get a decision until next summer. But Vlad, I mean, already this case is striking fear among abortion advocates and raising hope among abortion opponents.
At issue, 2018 Mississippi law that would ban almost all abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. It's similar to bans recently passed in other conservative-leaning states, all with an eye on getting the newly conservative Supreme Court to reconsider Roe.
And we'll probably be sued here in about a half hour. That'll be fine with me.
Lower courts have struck down the bans as unconstitutional under existing Supreme Court decisions, which prohibit most restrictions until after the second trimester, about 6 months, when the fetus can live outside the womb.
And I will be appointing pro-life judges.
Conservatives have what could be the most solid majority in modern history, with three justices appointed by President Trump. Two of them, Justices Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett, replaced justices who had refused to overturn Roe. During their confirmation hearings, both said they would follow the Constitution.
That I do see as distinct my personal, moral, religious views and my task of applying the law as a judge.
But according to the National Constitution Center's Jeffrey Rosen, even the decision to review the Mississippi case indicates this new court could see the issue differently.
It takes at least four justices to agree to hear a case. And this decision suggests that because the composition of the court has changed, its view toward Roe may have changed as well.
Now, last June, the Supreme Court struck down a Louisiana law that could have left the state with only one abortion clinic. Chief Justice John Roberts, who's a conservative, joined the court's liberals. But this is a different case and a much more conservative court. Anthony?
All right, Jan, thank you very much. Heavy rain is pounding much of Louisiana, causing significant flooding. First responders in Baton Rouge rushed to this apartment complex to ferry families to safety. More than a foot of rain around Lake Charles left roads and some businesses underwater. In West Texas, a tornado sighting in Sterling City is linked to damage at a nearby power plant. The possibility of more heavy rain, tornadoes, and hail is in the forecast for the region throughout the week.
I can't believe the video of those people sitting in the restaurant with the floodwaters acting like this is normal.
I know, calm in the midst of the storm.
There you go.
Every definition.
Yep.
In Los Angeles, a suspected arsonist is under arrest, accused of setting a large brush fire near the Pacific Ocean. Officials say the flames are reaching hillside areas in Pacific Palisades that have not burned in more than 50 years. Hundreds of people who were ordered to evacuate in the area were allowed to return home last night.
Thank you for listening to the CBS This Morning podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to get daily podcast originals.
You can watch the CBS This Morning broadcast Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on your local CBS station or live on the CBS All Access app.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to CBS Mornings on the go ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and host of the Money Watch podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It is a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and maybe more importantly, on your life. Follow Money Watch wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
I'm CBS News correspondent Major Garrett, host of the podcast Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen. During the Cold War, FBI agent Robert Hansen traded classified secrets to the Kremlin in exchange for cash and jewels. In the podcast, you'll hear from Hansen's closest friends, family members, victims, and colleagues for the most comprehensive telling of who Robert Hansen really was. Binge the entire series now. Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen is available on the Wondery app, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.